So this is really something, again, you can see what Herbert Hoover is saying. I also have a quote on Harry Truman, nothing better than cake, but more cake. In a sense, we've actually have another set of legislative acts, relief acts. There's the Consolidated Appropriations Act and the American Rescue Act, the American Rescue Plan Act, I'm sorry. As well as the American Families Plan, which is in a bill state at this point in time. I like these acts in the sense that I think there's some optimism here because they really do a lot of tweaks and adjustments to last year's bills and or provisions rather than anything necessarily new. And I think that's where we ended up getting a lot of guidance from the IRS because they were able to follow up on that as well. To summarize it, I think I look at these as the three E's. I think this legislation is either extended, expanded, or even eased up on some of the provisions that were passed prior year. And I think that's actually to allow us to get through this so we can move into the new normal. The first act, Consolidated Appropriations Act, CAA, it's really, it's called consolidated because it includes two acts, the COVID-related Tax Relief Act and the Taxpayer Certainty and Disaster Tax Relief Act. And under that, of course, they have certain provisions that they talk about, tax provisions from previous bills. So there's the payroll tax credits we've seen with the CARES Act, as well as the FFCRA. Now the employee retention credit under the CARES Act, that is a payroll tax credit that many of you have been able to use. And that's where the federal government has subsidized the employers for wages that they paid to employees who could not work or provide service. Employment services couldn't work for the employer. So a good example is the stay-at-home employee who's going to take care of their kids, of course, because the schools are no longer in session and the kids are learning from home. Now the subsidy that we talked about was a credit against the employer's share of Social Security taxes, or known as FICA. So basically, you could get a credit for wages that you paid for employees who weren't necessarily be able to provide services for you due to COVID. And you could do it just by keeping your share, the employer's share of FICA. In this case, what they did is extend this provision. So it was supposed to end in December 31st, and it goes now through June 30th. They did an extra two-month extension. They eased the definition of the eligible employer. Now, to be an eligible employer, you basically need to show pain. And that would be your operations were fully or partially suspended due to the operations from a governmental authority as a result of COVID. Of course, that's a legal term to some extent, but there's a quantitative standard as well, which is the business experienced more than a 50% reduction in gross receipts in the current year as opposed to the 19 year. And they've changed that 50% reduction down to 25% or 20%, which actually makes it a little bit easier to be able to qualify for this. They also included governmental employers. They were excluded before. So University of Michigan was not allowed to take advantage of the employee retention credit. We now can. They also broadened the definition of small employers. They were 100 or less employees was a small employer. Now it's 500 or less. Now, I think it's very important because there's really two different definitions of qualified wages. For the large employers, and we talked about this, it would be when the employee was not working for the employer. And they have certain limitations there. Previously, it was 50% of $10,000 for the remainder of the year. Now it's increased to 70%. Up to $10,000 per quarter. And of course, there's the two quarters, at the end of March and the end of June. Small employer, when it comes to the definition of qualified wages, it's any and all wages. So to the extent you're a small employer and employees were actually providing services, you can still receive a subsidy for those wages. So that's actually very interesting. They also addressed a provision that we found a lot of heartburn with, and Bert and I had talked about this last year, which was the interrelationship with the PPP loan and the employee retention credit. Now, PPP loan really applies to small employers. It stands for the Paycheck Protection Program. It's basically a loan, and it will be forgiven if you spend the proceeds in accordance with what would be COVID-related expenses. And what they did in this act is they decoupled that. So in the past, you actually could either do the PPP loan, but you were denied the ERC. Today, you can do both the PPP loan and have it forgiven and do the ERC and be able to use the payroll tax credit as long as they don't apply to the same wages. And that is extremely helpful, particularly for the small employer. So you can see how this really has eased up and made things, I think, much better, or in the words of Harry Truman, more cake. For the University of Michigan, we found now that we were entitled to the employee retention credit, we actually weren't able to take advantage of it. We called it too little, too late. For us, employees who would fit the pattern of not being able to provide services for us, a good example would be resident advisors. The students are no longer in their houses, in the housing, so they're all home. So we really don't need the RAs, house officers, we call them. And so what do we do with them? Well, we'd send them home, we'd probably still pay them, and we would get a credit for them. Well, since then, the early days of the pandemic, we've actually repurposed the roles of these individuals. So now they are working, they're all working at the COVID center and receiving the same pay. So we don't have a lot of employees who fit the definition of qualified wages. And we also have a tough time too with eligible employer because we don't have operations that are fully or partially suspended, at least when we look at it from governmental perspective. And then, of course, the reduction, we haven't had a reduction in revenues. We had a reduction in operations, but not necessarily overall, because we got a lot of funds, either from donors or so forth, and to some extent to the government. So we really didn't have an opportunity as much as we would have thought. So as much as the government is being more generous, we weren't able to take advantage.